aches and pains.
Hey, is this 0600? What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early. Speaking of early,
good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
They're all completely gassed. They've given it everything on the Globo Bucket. Here comes Diggins. Here comes Diggins.
Diggins making the play around Sweden.
Yes.
Jesse Diggins,
yes,
to the line.
Yes.
And it is,
yes,
Jesse Diggins,
oh,
delivering a landmark, oh, moment that will be etched in U.S. Olympic history.
Hey, so how did it go today?
Pretty good.
Just when I thought I was out, pull me back in.
It's time for the Mickey Plyler Show, here on The Roar.
Carson Beck, late touchdown run, pushes Miami to the national championship game, Indiana-Oregon tonight. Clemson adds an freshman All-American defensive end. Gamecocks add three, including the top offensive tackle in the portal. And Clemson baseball ranked in the top 20. A busy Friday show, so let's go. Good morning, sports fans. Glad to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Mickey Plyler Show. Friday, January the 9th, 2026. Hope all is well. Looking forward to a great show. A lot to do today. Tons of things to get into, including Josh Williams, 725, reviewing the Miami Ole Miss game, talking about what Vegas thinks about the Oregon and Indiana game tonight. 745, Jinx Patrick will be here, our Jinx St. Realty Hunting and Fishing Report. And in the hour three, we'll try to see if we can get with Roy Philpott today. Got to check his schedule, to be honest with you, what all's going on there. As I bring in Sam Jones with a ton of things to get into. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I am ready for the weekend. How about you?
I am. We got the bad news this morning. We're supposed to have in Denzel Johnson, former Clemson defensive back, and his hawk, the falconry man, Bone, but Denzel's not feeling well today, and we're going to push it back.
We're going to get him at some point.
At some point.
We don't want him in here sick. We don't want the bird in here sick.
As I told you, I hope Denzel didn't have the bird flu.
Yeah.
But, man, I'm looking forward to that. I was all jacked up and excited about that. But we'll still have our ReedyLanco.com's hunting and fishing report.
We'll tease it for another week. It'll be 2 weeks in a row we've teased the hawk.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I got my Reedy Lanco hat on today. Man, I was really looking forward to it.
Next Friday, I get my face ripped off. Live on air next Friday.
I want to do it so bad. Anyway.
Why mine, not yours? Why does it have to be me?
I don't know.
He's going to be in your studio over there.
No, we're going to send him over there.
Right. Just the hawk.
Yeah, just the hawk.
Denzel will be in there. I'm over here in my studio.
I think we need to release a rabbit in here, too, and see if it works inside. See if how that goes. Anyway, how's life over there?
It's pretty good, man. How about you?
Oh, fantastic. Couldn't be better. Blessed. What a football game, huh?
Yeah, that was my I figured we hit it segment two, kind of. That and the preview for tonight's game. What a football game.
Yeah, what a football
game.
What
a beauty.
We'll talk much more about that for sure. In case you missed it, Miami beats Ole Miss 31-27 in a crazy fourth quarter in which 25 points were scored after a pretty lame third quarter. But 25 points were scored. Did you stay up to see the whole thing, Sam? Did you stay up for the whole game?
Yeah, I did. I watched this entire game last night.
How about the post game? Did you watch it, the trophy presentation?
I did. I watched all of it. I watched through Cristobal's interview with Van Pelt last night.
Was it as awkward as some
yes.
said? All right, so here's what I think. Now, tell me if I'm wrong.
It was just unnecessary.
So they've got all these, Verbo maybe,
yep.
officials up there.
Mm-hmm.
And Cristobal's like upset because all their people up there and his players aren't up there and it's awkward and the lady's rambling about nothing. And Cristobal's asking, can he just get his players up there? Am I getting most of that right?
Yeah, I don't really understand why. I understand the business behind it. I don't really appreciate or enjoy the Vrbo aspect of any of this, where you have to have three corporate people up there that clearly don't really know what they're talking about.
Even in the pregame, just a coin toss now.
Now you got the Vrbo CEO. All he does is hand it off. He doesn't flip the coin. They don't let him have a mic.
But the referee's got to remember his name.
Yep. And then Holly Rowe has to remember all three of the Vrbo representatives' name up on the stage, while Mario Cristobal just wants to go celebrate in the locker room.
I know, and he wants his players up there rather than Vrbo people.
He did say, I believe, quote, at least to paraphrase, I'm not going to quote it because I can't remember the exact quote, but to paraphrase, can we get all these random people off the stage? Can I get my players up here? Actually, I think that's exactly what he said.
Did he say that in the mic?
Said it in the background, and the mic picked it up.
Good for him, man. Yeah, he's right.
What are we doing? We don't need three Vrbo people in their weird gold jackets up there they're in the Football Hall of Fame.
Yes, I love it, man. Or ABC Monday Night Football. Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's great. How about the Hurricanes winning this now, 13-2, going to the national championship game at home, because the national championship game's in Miami. That's going to be very interesting. Miami outgained Ole Miss last night 459-398. Had the only turnover in the game, but had more first downs, more time possession. Time possession was 41-22-18-38. Ran so many more plays. Let me get the plays for you here. Miami ran, let's write this, 37 passes and 51 runs. They ran 88 plays. Meanwhile, Ole Miss ran 60 plays. But Ole Miss had the lead, and Miami goes down, flying down the field. No, I shouldn't say flying. 15-play drive, 75-yard drive. And with 18 seconds to go, Beck took it in for the score for the game-winning score. One thing about the drives last night, you know, Miami had also had a 13-play drive on the opening drive that had a field goal. They just controlled, the game as far as the being on the offense and putting Ole Miss's defense on the field for a lot long. Great win for Miami. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk much more about the game tonight, 7:30 down in Atlanta. Oregon and Indiana. Clemson adds another transfer portal player yesterday, this time defensive end, edge rusher London Merritt. He is a guy that camped here a few years ago, originally from the state of Florida. A Pro Football Focus's freshman All-American that has a 3 years to play three after a very good freshman season out at Colorado. 6'3 and 250-pound defensive end, London Merritt. They've got more players coming in this weekend. Gamecocks had a nice day yesterday. They get a kicker, okay? And if your name is Upton Belafonte, then you're a kicker. So they get former Texas Tech kicker Upton Belafonte. They get Quasheed Scott, defensive back out of Kentucky. He played nickel, versatile guy there, originally from the state of South Carolina. And they get Jacarius Peak, the number one offensive tackle in the transfer portal from NC State, and had to pay hefty to get him, but they got him, and a good deal of the game.
They need him.
To rebuild that offensive line. Yes.
If you're going to blow money on something, that's what you blow it on.
Yes, and they needed it because that's their third offensive lineman. They're still going to get a couple more, it seems like. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Dolphins fire Mike McDaniel, and that's the right move, right? That was never really – didn't seem like it was going to work. Weird dude, didn't work.
I don't know how much blame to assign to him for this.
Yeah, he never had a quarterback.
Terrible general manager who got fired midseason this year.
Yeah.
Tua, who he had responsibility for Tua's contract. I'm sure he signed off on that as well, but ultimately that's not his decision. A little bit of a weird dude, but I don't think that matters necessarily if you can coach a football team. Did they lose the locker room? You could certainly point to some things that happened this year in press conferences especially that would indicate he might have. But they won their last four games. Which, does that matter? It was against four bad teams. I don't know. They got destroyed by the Bengals, got destroyed by the Browns this year. If he goes and coaches as an offensive coordinator somewhere, I think he's going to be unbelievably excellent because that's what he's always been. He's always been excellent as an offensive play caller. If he goes and is a head coach immediately somewhere, we'll see. I highly doubt he's done being a head coach. I don't think he's nearly bad enough to where, if he's even bad at all, honestly, that he would be never a head coach again.
One of my issues was he is a different dude. How does that play in the locker room?
It's an interesting question. His staff seemingly adores him, and I think his players liked him. but it's probably not the dumbest thing in the world for the Dolphins to just clean house, and that includes Tua this offseason,
yeah.
if they can. However, they would take a $99 million dead cap.
Woo!
Their issue is they had a bad general manager. Chris Greer was awful,
yeah.
and Tua was not good. The only reason Tua ever looked good in the NFL was Mike McDaniel.
Right.
So he is going to go somewhere.
And
the
he had
Lions,
some good receivers, too.
Yeah, he had some good receivers, but he got them open. He schemed them open. So, and he had a very clear plan in the run game. They had an unbelievably efficient run game with Achane and Mostert the last few seasons, or at least a couple seasons ago.
They were innovative in what they're doing. You know, there's about 2 years ago, or maybe three now, but like, boy, he was thought this is going to be the future of the NFL.
They hung 70 on Denver.
Yeah.
Three seasons ago, and
now
he's
fired.
This
is it. Now he's fired. You're right.
So I think he's going to go somewhere and be an excellent, excellent offensive coordinator. The Browns want to interview him for their head coaching job.
You take him right now?
I would take him, yeah. I don't know if I'd be thrilled with it, but considering what's out there, I think I'd take him.
Cleveland would be hard on that guy, though.
Yes, they would be ruthless on him, but we also stink and need somebody who knows how to run an offense.
College basketball last night, 8th-ranked Gonzaga down Santa Clara, 89-77. 12th-ranked Sparty beat Northwestern, 76-66. 16th-ranked Illinois down Rutgers, 81-55. Clemson goes to Notre Dame tomorrow noon is it noon or 6? I should know this. I get them all confused now. Bear with me one second here. Clemson tomorrow.
It's at 6.
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. ESPN2, that's right. ESPN2, Tigers head to Notre Dame.
Quad one game?
Quad one? How about that?
Did we ever get net ratings yesterday?
We did, and you're going to be disappointed.
They were at 33rd. Did they go to 32nd?
Yeah.
Or did they drop somehow?
No. Believe me, you could say dropping there. Clemson moved to 32nd. SMU dropped to 27. So SMU's at 27, Georgia's at 28, and Clemson's behind those two. 32, only moved up one.
I wonder why they only moved up one. I wonder what they're docking them for. I can't possibly, maybe because it was at home? Even level, I guess they're classing it as an even level opponent?
I think beating
an even level opponent anywhere is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I guess. NFL playoffs tomorrow. Sam, give me a quick thought here. Let's do the whole weekend. 4:30 Fox tomorrow, Rams, Panthers, Rams, 10.5 points, big spread.
I think the Rams will win, but home playoff games are always funky, and the Panthers did win this game earlier this year, but they're not a very good football team. Rams, sure.
8 o'clock, prime video, Packers and Bears. Packers, another road favorite, 1.5 points.
I have no idea. This is the game I'm most excited for. I think the Bears
played like 8 times this year.
Yeah, this is only the third time they've ever played in the playoffs, which is odd considering they have played each other more than any other pairing in the history of the NFL. I would lean Packers here, to be honest with you, but the Bears have voodoo and that can't be quantified, and they're at home.
Sunday, 1 o'clock, Bills at Jags, CBS Bills, another road favorite, 1.5 point favorite.
I think the winner of this has a very good chance of winning the AFC. I'm going to take the Jaguars. I just don't trust the Bills. However, Josh Allen is Josh Allen.
4:39ers, Eagles on Fox. Eagles a 5.5, the first of our home favorites.
I think it's gross. I think Philly's going to win. I hate saying that. The Eagles' offense is just unwatchable, but San Francisco's defense is equally unwatchable. So,
Night game, Sunday night, Chargers, Patriots, NBC. Also on Peacock.
I'm a
captain. New England 3.5 point favorite there.
I'll take the MVP. I think Drake May is the MVP, and I think they win that game.
And then Monday night, Texans and Steelers.
It's a Monday night game.
Monday night game.
It the Steelers.
Yeah, ESPN, Houston 3-point road favorite.
Man, it doesn't feel right not having the Texans in the afternoon Saturday slot. I would say probably Houston, but Pittsburgh hasn't won a playoff game in a decade. Is Aaron Rodgers the one to change that? He's probably got a better chance than most of the quarterbacks they've had in that decade. I would still lean Houston because that defense is maniacal, and Pittsburgh scored 6 points on a lesser defense, Cleveland, 2 weeks ago. That's also very good. I think they're going to give them fits. It is at home, though, which you never know. But it's hard to bet against that defense right now with what Houston's doing. They basically just line up and say, come beat us, and nobody can.
Preseason baseball polls out yesterday. Perfect game came out. Number 25, East Carolina. Number 24, the U. By the way, Miami basketball is 33rd in the net. So Miami, good to 3 men's sports there at least. Southern Miss is at 23. NC State, 22. UC Santa Barbara, 21. Clemson, number 20. In the preseason poll. Vanderbilt 19, North Carolina 18, Coastal Carolina 17. Louisville is 16, Georgia 15, Virginia 14, Oregon 13, Florida 12, TCU 11. Auburn is 10, Florida State is 9, Texas is 8, Oregon State 7, Mississippi State 6, UCLA 5, Arkansas 4, Tennessee 3, Georgia Tech 2, and LSU, your preseason number one in college baseball. College baseball, I think we're 38 days, something like
That's nuts. That is absolutely nuts to me. But they do start so early. I mean, they start like February.
Valentine's Day right around there. And then I got the bad news to report. You see the weather? So it's going to rain today, later on today. That's not terrible because 65 and 66 tomorrow. Then 49. No, we'll get up to the high 50s midweek, Sam. I see some 20s late next week. I see some 40s, like 44 on Friday.
These are the months when it usually gets pretty chilly.
Yeah, but this has changed. It's a colder front coming, but originally this was supposed to be in the mid-50s. It's 10 degrees difference in one day in what they're predicting now. Who knows? Hopefully we'll get out of that, and it'll be much, much better. And let me tell you about the Patterson's Tax Service. I spent a bunch of time talking to Russell on the phone yesterday. Sam, there's some unbelievable things going on in taxes right now. And you need to get your taxes done by tax experts because, like electric cars, you know, the thing is, if you bought an electric car, then it goes away. The tax credit goes away. No, not necessarily. It depends on when you bought it. The other thing is overtime, which is, you know, not going to be taxed in the future. So things like this, what companies are doing, he said he's doing corporate taxes now. They're doing individual taxes now. If you have all your tax stuff done, you go now. I mean, if you have your tax information, they can do that for you now. That being said, they can't file them to around the 25th or so of the month. But they can do them now. I would encourage you to go ahead and get in front of the line. Go ahead and make your appointment now. Don't wait. I will tell you that we'll wake up and it'll be April the 1st. You'll go, I hadn't done my taxes yet. Oh, my gosh, what do I do? And you can still get in maybe at that time, I hope. But go ahead and do it first, especially if you're getting refunds. Maximize that refund right now. Russell was telling me there's 15 things I learned about the tax code yesterday that I didn't know about, and the changes, just the strange stuff about child tax credits and energy tax credits and just unbelievable stuff that people just miss out on and don't know without your guys. Think about it. Patterson's Tax Service, the professional is going to help save you money. PATTX.com, 864-859-8289. Let's take a break. We'll come back talking college football with Sam Jones in segment two right after this.
Don't miss out on the action. Arthrex is hiring. They develop innovative technologies to treat orthopedic sports injuries around the world and right here in your community. Learn new skills in a clean, high-tech manufacturing environment with many exciting benefits and campus amenities, including free lunch, free medical care, a new child care center, sports fields and wellness programs, paid parental leave, a transportation stipend, and much more. Check out careers.arthrex.com. That's careers.arthrex.com.
Experience the Davis Services difference where quality meets reliability. Family owned, serving the upstate and western North Carolina since 1972, Davis Services is your go-to for all HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs. With decades of expertise, we ensure your home runs smoothly and efficiently, providing peace of mind for you and your family. Don't wait for problems to escalate. Call Davis Services today and let our skilled team handle it all. Call 864-432-1785 or visit our website, davisservicesinc.com today.
For a true Tiger, every day is game day. And the Tiger Sports Shop has the gear to prove it. From Nike sideline apparel to exclusive Lululemon and Clemson polos, tees, and hats, we've got what you need to rep your Tigers in style. Plus, by joining our Tiger Rewards loyalty program, you'll earn points and unlock exclusive perks throughout the season. Shop local at our two Clemson locations or online anytime at tigersports.com. The Tiger Sports Shop, your Clemson headquarters, everything Clemson for the Clemson fan.
Go Tigers!
If you have had surgery and are struggling with recovery, check out OrthoLaser Spartanburg. They use advanced MLS laser therapy to help reduce post-surgery pain, minimize swelling, and speed up healing. OrthoLaser is non-invasive, drug-free, and proven to support a smoother, more comfortable recovery. Whether it's joint replacement, orthopedic surgery, or a sports injury repair, take control of your recovery with OrthoLaser. Call today for your free consultation. 864-327-8001.
Guns, guns. It's the Great American Gun Show this weekend, January 10th and 11th in Pickens at the Market at the Mill Event Center. Buy, sell, and trade. Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. Guns, knives, ammo. Bring your guns. Tell your friends it's a Great American Gun Show this weekend in Pickens.
Upstate Cycle in Greenville is celebrating 46 years in business. Looking for easier parking with 80 to 100 miles per gallon? Then check out our wide selection of scooters with many styles, colors, and price ranges to choose from. We stand behind the quality of each scooter with a comprehensive warranty and dedicated service. With an assortment of accessories, a broad range of parts, we have you covered. Delivery is available. And don't forget to ask about our layaway plan. Call 864-232-7223 for more information.
Did you know nearly 80% of homes are under-insulated? If your energy bills are high, your HVAC runs nonstop, or rooms feel too hot or too cold, insulation may be the problem. At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam insulation, sealing air leaks, and keeping comfort where it belongs. The result? Better comfort, lower energy bills, and you may qualify for up to a $1,050 Duke Energy rebate. Call Koala Insulation today at 864-867-1779.
Did you know the IRS is hiring thousands of new revenue officers, leading to more audits and levies? If you have outstanding taxes, these changes could bring added stress and trouble your way. Take action now before things get worse. Let David Green at Green Law Firm help you resolve your tax issues before the IRS comes knocking. Call Green Law Firm today at 864-271-7940. That's 864-271-7940. Or visit greenlaw.legal. Act now and enjoy peace of mind tomorrow.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HD TV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Are you incensed that you missed one of our daily shows?
And what do we have? We have an altercation of some sort down on the field. Shane Beamer is incensed, irate about something.
Stay calm. You can listen to all of our past shows at theroarfm.com and click on the podcast tab.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. My great friends at Ingles want to help you. They want to make sure you got everything you need for the weekend, for the grilling, and for the you know, any of the parties, any of the family reunion stuff, anything going on. We've got some this weekend. We're going to be going busting all about with the running errands and stuff like this and getting stuff done, birthday parties and all this stuff. We'll go to Ingles and we'll get the grill out material. Hey, I told you the fruits and vegetables, such fresh stuff. Love all that. Maybe the best. It might be the best part of the whole shooting shebang there, except for the deli and the bakery department and the seafoods and meat department. Love everything about it. Love the selection. Love the prices. Love the savings. Love the wide aisles. Love you know, the coffees and the gas stuff. Go by and see our great friends at Ingles. They make it easy as can be, and then save with that Ingles Advantage card. Love the prices. Love the savings. Go by and see my friends this weekend at Ingles. Segment number two, which is Mr. Sam Jones.
Mighty ACC, Mickey.
Yeah.
Just means more in the ACC. The physicality and speed of the ACC is untouchable.
Yeah.
Now, on a serious note, 10 seed Miami will play for a national title at home, which seems like it's a bit unfair, but, I mean, this is laid out many years in advance, yeah. So this is prone to happen. I doubt they were expecting Miami to get there, to be blunt with you. Good for Miami. They have become a pretty likable program here under Mario Cristobal this year, I think. I've enjoyed watching them play all year. After last season where you could tell that they had everything they needed on offense and they could not field a defense that could stop anybody, it's impressive to see a complete 180 on that side of the ball to where their defense is winning them football games. And then it was impressive last night to see a guy in Carson Beck who has been in college for 100 years and been through quite a bit and been very well slandered in the last couple years, deservedly so for a lot of it, go out there and have his moment. It was good to see all that, and it was good to see Mario Cristobal officially get over the hump here because he's been trying for a while. It was just a fun football game. Now, it doesn't take anything away from Ole Miss, who were unbelievable in this game. We'll get to them in a minute as well. I don't know how they stayed in this game for four quarters, but just a great football game, two very good football teams, and I do think the better team won.
Yeah, the lines of scrimmage appeared to be one of the differences for me. And it showed in how they were, you know, third down conversions, the down and distances. Miami was 11 of 19 on third downs. They were 2-2 on fourth downs. So they were 13 of 21 on third and fourth downs. Meanwhile, Ole Miss was 2 of 10. I thought the down and distances were huge all night long. The other thing is, despite a – how long was Lacy's run? Despite a 73-yard touchdown run early in the game, Ole Miss had just 121 yards rushing. And Miami had 191 yards rushing. Miami had more balance. Again, just put themselves in better situations as far as the game control and gameplay and down and distance and all that. And in the end, like you said, I thought the better team won. Now, what does this do? Do you buy this ACC-SEC record stuff now? The SEC now three consecutive years without having a team in the national championship game. The SEC 1-8 against Power Four in bowl games, not when they weren't playing each other. ACC with 9-4 now, I think it is. Pretty interesting. And the ACC in two of the last 3 years has had a winning record against the SEC.
The ACC has certainly improved this year in football, right, top to bottom. I mean, the conference champion's not in the playoff, so that's a good sign for the ACC, even if you'd like to get the conference champion in the playoff in any other world. I said it when it happened, and I still stand by it. The best possible outcome for the ACC was Duke winning that football game and keeping Virginia out of there if it meant the committee wasn't going to go two-bit ACC.
Right.
Because Virginia would have had no chance. They would have lost round one. Miami was clearly the best team in the conference. Carson Beck basically threw two football games this year. Their defense has always been there, and if Beck is there, they're really good. This is exactly what they have done in the playoff. Their defense has been excellent. They didn't get any offense on anybody other than Mark Fletcher against A&M, and then Beck has been fantastic in the last two games, which, credit to him, last night might have been the very best game of his entire career, and he certainly saved it for the right time. Going to have one more, but unbelievable last night. Miami won the possession battle 41 minutes to 18 minutes in this game, which is why I said a minute ago, I don't know how Ole Miss stayed in this game for three quarters. The one big run from Kiwon Lacy was what got him into it at the beginning, but Trinidad Chambliss was not very good in the first half of this game. Multiple dropped interceptions by Miami. I don't know how Ole Miss stuck into this. Credit to their defense. Credit to Lucas Carnero, their ridiculous kicker.
Well, he's unbelievable.
They managed to hang in this game until literally the last play when you thought at the 30-35-yard line they had a Hail Mary opportunity. You thought, wow, they might actually get this. So Ole Miss goes out scrappy, which is what they have been all season long defensively. Even if their offense is unbelievable, their defense is scrappy and just as good in a lot of ways. But what a great football game. It's good to see two new teams in there. I say new, relatively for Miami. And it's good to get good football, and I think we're going to get another really good one tonight.
I do, too. Beck looked very, very comfortable last night. You know, we always say you want to make your quarterback look uncomfortable.
He's in control.
Of the two quarterbacks, he looked like he was under more control. Did it appear that way to you?
He just kind of seems to be in command of this offense. I mean, he's taking checkdowns. He's not trying to force things. If there's one slant against Carson Beck nowadays, it's that his elbow shot. I mean, that arm is – he does not have arm strength. He does not have the arm strength to consistently go deep down the field. They hang in the air forever. It almost got him in trouble a couple times yesterday. But short and intermediate, he's as good as he's ever been. And on top of that, they ran for 6 yards a carry with Mark Fletcher. Jamar Brown was good as well in this game. Good short yardage back for them. I think Miami had 150 yards on screens last night. I mean, they used the screen game as an extension of the run game in that quick pass area, and nothing Ole Miss did worked against it. Malachi Toney was open on every single one of them. Keelan Marion was open on screens. Tight end screens a couple times. Like, every time they ran a screen, it worked. And that is what their offense is. It's get the ball to playmakers and get them into open space.
Toney is so physical despite being a tiny fella. Like, breaking tackles, his blocking. Like, really have a lot of respect for him.
The blocking was something that Herb Street and Fowler both mentioned a lot last night, that He's 18 years old, and he's doing all of these little things on top of being the most dangerous weapon left in the playoff offensively, you would argue. And he does them all at a high level. Ridiculous player.
All right, and I'll ask Georgia fans this now. There's obviously, it was not a pretty breakup for Carson Beck at Georgia. And you go back and you look at what Georgia said about him, Georgia fans and Georgia players, even Georgia coaches a little bit, and Georgia media talked a little bit about it. And here he is, seemingly opposite of what the picture that Georgia paints of him. So did he get the last laugh on Georgia? Stetson Bennett has not won a college football playoff game. 0-2.
Stockton.
I mean, Stetson Bennett won a bunch of
guys.
Gunner has not won one. But Beck goes on and is now, you know, Beck's won, what, he won two national championships as a backup now. But SEC championship and all that as a starting quarterback. And I know the overtime game was Stockton, you know, finishing up. But bottom line is, Beck's had a pretty good resume. Did he win the final battle between those two?
I think it had to happen. I think it's one of those where it's not even a battle. It's just you needed to move on in both ways. This game very easily could have been Carson Beck versus Georgia. Yeah. So it's not like Georgia's far away from where Carson Beck is right now. But he is going to be playing for a national title game next Monday, and Georgia's sitting on the couch. That's not, I don't think, because of their quarterback. So I'm more apt to say that Beck, while fantastic, is also not necessarily anything different to me than he's ever been. He still lost Miami a couple games on his own this year. I mean, he threw a lot of picks in the games they lost this season. He had some struggles. But right now, he's peaking where he needs to, and he's playing good football. And I don't think he would have done that at Georgia, and Georgia probably wanted to get Gunnar Stockton in there. And Stockton, to his credit, in two seasons of play now, Mickey, or one season of play, and one playoff game, has looked the part. So I think they're all probably pretty satisfied with the outcome. But Carson Beck winning a national title 1 year after leaving Georgia, would be something. That would be something that I don't think many people saw coming.
It would not be as interesting if they left it in a very good terms and everybody was complimentary of each other and we wish each other well and all that. The reason it's more interesting is that it was a little bit of a bad blood. Let's face it, this bad blood.
It wasn't the prettiest, and injuries played a part for Carson Beck last year for certain. Had a bad receiver room. There were things that needed to be fixed at Georgia that they fixed to an extent this season. Beck has also just been better. I mean, he's just been a lot more willing to take those short and intermediate throws in that Miami offense and get dudes into space, and look where it's gotten them.
Yeah.
All he's got to do, all Carson Beck has to do on this team with the way their defense plays is not throw interceptions.
Yeah.
It's that simple. I mean, it sounds like a really hyper-simplified way of looking at things, but this is what he's got to do. He's got to game manage to a high level and make the occasional big throw or big running play like he did down the stretch consistently last night, and Miami will win a lot of football games, and he's doing exactly that. So credit to him.
Fletcher's a man. Fletcher is the straw that stirs the drink. The offensive line's amazing. But one of the most underrated parts of Miami is, I mean, obviously the freshman Tony everybody talks about. The wide receiver crew has been really, really good in the playoffs too. And that helps Beck, no doubt about that. But that was phenomenal once again in Miami. And now Cristobal. Cristobal did not Cristobal it up again. Did you see the Cristobal, the assistant with 18 seconds to go trying to tackle him, and he got all mad there too?
And he was right. He was absolutely right, because Chambliss went 40 yards down the field in 10 seconds.
How far was the Hail Mary?
35 yards? Yeah. 30, 35?
So if you had a 15-yard penalty on the last play, had it been pass interference, you know, now you're talking about down to the 20-yard line maybe. But I don't think you can call pass interference there.
I think you can. They just won't.
Yeah.
There's hand fighting, but they're never going to call it on a Hail Mary. You could probably mug the guy in the end zone, and they're just not going to call it.
All right, we're going to talk a lot about Indiana and Oregon coming up, but quick question. Miami, I think Miami can beat Oregon. I don't know that they'll beat Oregon.
I think they can beat either of them.
I don't think they can beat Indiana.
I think Oregon can beat Indiana.
I think Oregon can beat Indiana.
I think Miami can beat the team that beats Indiana.
I tell you this, I think that Oregon would be favored over Miami, fair?
I think both teams would be favored, yes. but not by a lot for Oregon, because there is probably a little bit of a tax on this being a home game for Miami.
Let me just throw this out there, and I hadn't heard anybody say this yet. Don't be surprised if Indiana wins by double digits tonight. Like two touchdowns tonight.
I think it's heavily dependent on Oregon's running back room. If Jordan Whittington doesn't play, I think they're going to be in trouble. They're running out of backs.
Don't be surprised if Indiana wins the national championship game by double figures.
We'll see. My question is Miami's defensive line, and right now with the way they're running the ball, offensive line going to let a game get into blowout territory? Because they didn't this year, and I don't really see any reason why, even against an elite opponent, they would. They seem like a team built, no matter what the situation is, to get a close game out of anybody and muck it up enough that it's going to be interesting, even if it's not the prettiest way of getting there.
I'll ask Josh Williams. My guess is, look ahead line, my guess is Oregon would be about a 3.5 to 4.5 point favorite over Miami.
Yeah, they would get a bump for beating Indiana. For
home
sure.
Field advantage now. I might take that down a little bit.
Not to sound kind of like a jerk here, but how much of an advantage is home field for Miami?
That's
based on the last few
years. And it's a neutral site, so you'll see a bunch of Indiana fans there. Indiana will buy up every ticket they can get.
They certainly bought up many of them for the Peach Bowl, I can tell you that.
Indiana would be a 6.5 point favorite of Miami.
Yeah, probably around a touchdown.
And then finally,
they'd be 15-0, right? I
mean, yeah. So. 16, right? Yeah, 16-0.
If they win tonight, they'd be 15-0 going
into
the national
championship. Oh, yeah, 15 going into it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's going to get you a touchdown.
Yeah. I'm sorry. StubHub for tonight. Bear with me 1 second. Final thing in this segment. Because remember, I talked about maybe taking Drake down because it's in Atlanta, and I said, yeah, we might go down and see Indiana because I want to see Indiana play. And he said, hey, I saw that great Indiana team, right? Get in price tonight. With a seat. There's standing room only for $184 a piece. I'm not standing up for the whole game. Get in price for a seat, $256 tonight. Way up in the rafters, $256.
Yeah, these tickets have not gotten any cheaper. They were expensive when they came out a week and a half ago. They are expensive now. I have a ton of family going to this game. I have friends coming from Eugene going to this game. It is very, very pricey to get in there.
On the Oregon side, on their sideline, you can get in for $481, or you can get in for $456. On the Indiana sidelines, $725 is the cheapest ticket right now.
Yeah, I honestly thought these tickets would get cheaper after Alabama lost last week and ran themselves out of the possibility of playing this game. They just got more expensive.
I would tell you, what's that, 70,000?
Yeah, somewhere around there, I think. There'll 72,
be,
maybe.
There'll be 50,000 Indiana fans there tonight.
Oh, it's gonna be loud. Yeah, Oregon fans travel, though. Should be fun.
But they've been to games and
they've played in this stadium 2 years ago.
Yeah. Indiana, this is the first, and they're highly motivated, no doubt about that. All right, short break. Well, let's have two open phone lines and text segments. I'd love to hear from you. Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. Much more after this.
Call the plumber whose name is his number.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number. One Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Hey, it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Clemson fans, whether you're buying or selling a house or just protecting your home as a future investment, you need a contractor you can truly trust. At CrawlSpace Medic, we are locally owned by a Clemson engineering alum, and we provide fast reports, itemized estimates, and zero sales pressure. We offer free inspections for homeowners and real estate agents, all completed by certified techs. Partner with CrawlSpace Medic today for that free inspection.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from AMPM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to AMPM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos and Traveler's Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
Got a Tiger at Clemson? Make visits easier and invest in your future with a new home at Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 8 miles from campus. This family-owned builder offers spacious, personalized homes starting in the mid-300s with quick move-ins available. Build from the ground up and design your dream space with luxury selections available, or lock in a low rate on a quick move-in home today. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Your Clemson connection starts at Sunrise. What do Clemson and the Citadel have in common? The time-honored tradition of the class ring. Collegiate Legacy Designs created a ring plaque that will carry that same tradition in your office or home to last a lifetime. Proudly handcrafted by Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie, Collegiate Legacy Designs offers customized ring plaques for your class ring, both men's and women's, and can ship nationwide. Give the gift that will carry your alumni pride at CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com.
Looking for exceptional senior living? Welcome to the Barclay at Clemson, formerly Dominion Senior Living and Everlawn Independent Living at Patrick Square. Now with a fresh name and the same trusted care you've come to count on. Whether it's independent living, assisted living, or memory care, enjoy top-notch care, chef-prepared meals, engaging activities, and the same friendly staff members in a community that truly feels like home. Live well and thrive at the Barclay at Clemson. Schedule your free tour today at 864-722-2811.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568. Or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Hey, if you're looking for safe takes, you're on the wrong station.
Not up in here!
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. My great friends at Trail, great contractor here in the upstate of South Carolina, and seeing some awesome finishing up projects that they're doing right now and turning their attention to new projects that are going on throughout the upstate of South Carolina. Trail wants to build with you. I want to talk about this. So if you're on committees, I don't want to be on any boards or any committees from now on. Like, I'm not good at it, and I don't want to do it anymore. But if you're on, like, the building committee at church, if you're on the a board, a school board, a county councils or city councils type stuff, and you got to build municipalities, you know, new libraries or new town halls or police departments, fire departments, whatever. These folks do a great job of that. They take an awful lot of pride in education. They like leaving their footprint here in the upstate of South Carolina. For instance, if you look at, like, just in education alone, multiple projects at Anderson University and Bob Jones and Clemson, Dorman High School, their football stadium and athletic stuff, down at Erskine. They've done work at Furman and Greenville Tech and Lawrence School District and McLees Elementary and Morrison Elementary and Oconee County and Pickens County, Pickens High School, by the way, and Seneca High School and Seneca Middle School and SWU. And T.O. Hanna and Tri-County Tech. I mean, you can't name a school. USC Upstate, name a school they hadn't done work for. Clemson, multiple projects, up and down. Like, and they love that. They love, being a part of the community. So if you're on school boards, if you're on the bid processes and how that works, here's one thing. You report back to your people. Yeah, we're on time right now. Yeah, we're on budget right now. And you're off the hook. That's what they want to know. We on time? We on budget? Yeah. Project going good? Yeah. It's going to be a great building. Yeah. TREHEO.com, 800-319-7006. Let me get Hal up first on a Friday. Good morning, Hal. How you doing?
Pretty good. It's like when Hunter Renfro, got cut a couple days ago, you know, by the Panthers, and big raid for y'all try coming down to Clemson to work as an assistant, maybe if he doesn't get another NFL job. And you remember that movie, remember that Chipmunk movie from back in the day, the live action?
Alvin and Chipmunks, yeah.
I just text you, I saw y'all text messages about that.
I saw that. I saw that one, yeah.
And the playoffs, the NFL playoffs are different now than what they used to be, you know. On any given Saturday or Monday, and then on Sunday, anybody can win. And they have two or three games which the road team is favored. And Drake May, I don't think he's worthy of the MVP like a couple of people, Glenn Matthew Stafford, because the Patriots had an easy schedule, and Drake May's style quarterback is not likely to be like that of Tom Brady's. And he used to be back in the day when the NFL playoffs began, the top teams from both NFC and AFC teams would automatically be paired. This is when the Steelers were a dynasty when they still had Bradshaw I'm afraid the Panthers may be unanimous underdogs.
The Panthers, that's double digit. They're not going to win tomorrow, unfortunately. But end, it's a great season to get back into it. I'm going to have a debate with Sam right now about MVP. Hal, I appreciate the phone call. Very good stuff. Stafford or Drake May? Are those the two, Sam?
Yeah, those are the two for me.
All right, let me throw the numbers first.
And you can't get, for what it's worth, you really can't go wrong here, but I do think there is a favorite.
All right, Stafford, 4,700 yards, May, 4,400 yards. Stafford, 46 touchdowns, May, 31. Both had eight picks. The Rams on the season finished 12-5, and the Patriots went 14-3. That's the first one for May in there. Weapons around him and all that. They didn't. By the way, the Rams didn't win their division. Seahawks won that division, whereas the Patriots won that division. So,
if you're going by raw touchdown numbers, you're going to go Stafford, and I don't think you're going to be necessarily wrong in that. I think he's absolutely deserving, and I think Matthew Stafford just generally should have an MVP to signify how good of a career he's had. But I'm a nerd, as all of you have probably gleaned the last 2 years now, and I love the advanced stats. They all favor May. Efficiency numbers favor May. Matthew Stafford has Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, and while I think Stephon Diggs is still excellent, that's not Devontae Adams or Puka Nacua. It's not a combination of the two. One of them has Sean McVay coaching him. The other one does not. While Vrabel's a great coach, the offensive side of things isn't necessarily McVayian. So I would say that May has done more with relatively less, even though they have an easy schedule. And he's also doing this in year two. He's already a top four or five quarterback in the NFL in year two. I think he's the MVP. I think it's going to be very, very close. I wouldn't be stunned. I would be pretty shocked, actually, if Stafford didn't win still. I don't know what the odds say about it. The raw numbers are appealing for Stafford. I just lean in May's direction a little bit. However, this is as close as it was last year with Lamar and Allen to me, and you cannot go wrong giving either of them.
I agree.
And I love that they're both first-time MVPs. No matter who wins, it's going to be a first-time MVP. So
let me go back circa, let me see about when circa this was.
There's also something to be said for recency bias here, and I admit that Matthew Stafford's worst game came in week 17, and Drake May's worst game came in week 1.
Yeah.
But I'm not letting that cloud here. I just think generally May is a little bit more efficient and probably gets it.
This is 2006 or 2007, maybe. And I go down to Foley Field in Athens, Georgia, to watch Clemson-Georgia baseball game. And the guy sitting directly in front of me has got this great big old head, and I can't hardly see the game. Tall guy, big head. Matthew Stafford.
Frat Stafford.
Frat Stafford, yeah. Big dude. At least he had a big head. I could see around his head the whole time. I'm like, dude, can you move that melon? Can't really see all that stuff. Anyway, I was a nice guy, though. Talked to him a little bit, nice guy. And you know, he's got the interesting family life and an interesting career. If you think about it now, this guy's been in the league since 2009. Hall of Fame career?
Yeah, I think so. I think agree. Absolutely. I mean, if he gets an MVP, yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer without it. A pretty clear one to me. There's a lot of Phillip Rivers kind of career, but with a Super Bowl, I think is what you have here. A better team around him a couple years ago. Just to kind of pad the Drake May agenda here, I hope Grayson Mann hears this somehow, because he would laugh at me for hours for giving Drake May his credit. Completion percentage leader, leads the league in yards per attempt while also leading it in completion percentage, which when you really think about that is bonkers. He's throwing it further than anybody on average, and he's completing more passes than anybody. Leads the league in EPA per dropback, pass EPA, QBR, passer rating. Mind-numbingly efficient this year for Drake May. And again, it's year two. Mm-hmm. So he's my MVP. Stafford just as deserving. Very excited to watch both of them play this weekend.
All right, I'm going to go on a limb here. All right. You know, I'm not the biggest NFL guy, but I'm going to go on a limb here. I don't think the Packers or the Bears are going to the Super Bowl.
Probably not.
I don't think the Rams can win three. The Niners.
I think the Rams can.
The Rams can. Can they go into Seattle? Two Seattle and win?
They almost did it last month. We'll see if they can do it this
time. You know what? Here's a road for them, maybe. If Green Bay wins, they could get a home game in the NFC. My thought was originally being the fifth seed, they had to get three straight road games. That was my point. Maybe.
They get screwed by the seeding for sure here, while the Panthers get to host a home game. Yeah,
I can, and it's, you know, it's cross country, and I've got to go back, and the Seattle at least would be closer to them. But I can see the Niners and the Eagles maybe making it to the Super Bowl. It's wide open over there. I think the Seahawks are a vulnerable number one. I don't see the Texans or Steelers going. Bills maybe can win in Denver. I don't know if Jacksonville can win in Denver. The Chargers.
Jacksonville did it already.
Patriots, yeah.
Did it already. I don't know, man. The Jaguars scare me.
Can I make this statement here? This is the most wide-open NFL playoffs we've seen in years.
Completely wide open. Complete punt. The Chiefs aren't there. I mean, we can simplify it like that. The Chiefs are not there, which kind of opens up the entire conference.
So, all right. NFC. Seahawks can win the Super Bowl?
Yes. Depends on Darnold. I don't think the Bears can. I don't think so, Chad.
Can the Packers? No.
If Micah Parsons was there, yes, but without him, I don't think they can.
Can the Eagles win the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think they can. I don't think their offense is good enough.
Can the Niners?
I don't think they can.
Panthers can't. You're saying Rams and Seahawks can?
I think those are the two. And now I'll look like a dummy because I'm sure the Eagles will get there.
All right, AFC, the Broncos can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Patriots can win the Super Bowl.
I think they can.
Can the Jags?
I do think they can.
Really?
I think the Jaguars are a top three team in the league. Since they got Jacoby Myers, Trevor's been a monster. The defense is good. Their offense is balanced. They have a great play caller. I think they're as good as anybody in the NFL.
Steelers can't.
No.
Texans can't.
It's the best defense in the NFL. It is, they do have C.J. Stroud. I think they're probably the lowest of the tier that
can,
but
I'm going to give you that.
I would say no, probably
not. All right, Bills can?
They have Josh Allen, but do they have anything else?
No.
They have James Cook and Josh Allen. They don't have anybody to throw the ball to.
Can the Chargers?
I would say no, but they're a good football team.
So five teams. That can
I think five, yeah. Five, somewhere in that range. Anybody can at this point, but in the NFL, the best team tends to win. I'm going to sound dumb for ruling out the reigning Super Bowl champions, I'm sure. I'm going to sound dumb for ruling out the best defense in the NFL, but I think the ones that we listed as can just are a little bit more balanced and have a lot more ways that they can win. But they're all new teams, which is really exciting. Except the Rams. They're all new teams.
Good young quarterbacks, you know.
A lot of them are quarterback dependent. How well is Bo Nix going to play in his first playoff run? How is Drake May going to play? How is Sam Darnold going to play? He's a Pandora's box of outcomes. So, all right.
I got this stat. I love hosting the show because I learn so much from the listeners. 78-40 informs me, and you say this is right.
I haven't verified it, but I can tell you it sounds about right.
The Steelers have won 23 consecutive times on Monday Night Football? Come on!
I believe that's true. I think I've heard that this is true. So,
come on! That's impossible!
We can personally attest that many of them are against my team. So, yeah, this is 30 years of winning on Monday Night Football, and they do it at home. I mean, they are... They're nuts. So Houston's going to have to go against a lot of history here. We shall see. They haven't won a playoff game in a decade. There are some streaks kind of clashing against each other here.
That's nuts. Nuts, I tell you.
Texans don't really play well on the road in the playoffs. We got a text on that literally the second I said that. This is not a great environment for Houston to be going into. But the Steelers aren't very good. So does that matter here? Who knows?
Steelers aren't going to the Super Bowl. UJ Troll gets in and says that Beck ghosted the staff after he got his injured last year. That's on him. Yeah, but you know what? He got the last laugh. He got a bunch of money to go to Miami. It's a great place to live. And they're going to the national championship game at home. He kind of got the last laugh.
You can't draw it up much better than that for him this year. You really can't draw it up. I don't think they care that they didn't win the ACC.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this. Maybe my perception is wrong on this. That Georgia and its people have been a lot more open about their problems with him than he's had their problems with Georgia. I could be wrong, but I hadn't read anything or hadn't noticed anything about Beck talking about Georgia bad. Have I? Did I miss that? Whereas Georgia fans and staff kind of, the media and other kind of made, they were more vindictive. Is that fair? Is my perception correct there?
Probably, but I'm sure there are reasons to be angry for them.
Yeah. All right.
Carson Beck's also not going to come out and publicly say, screw you, Georgia. I mean, it's just not a good PR look for him.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to say that, but he's not going to come out and do it.
Yes. All right. Short break. We'll come back. I've got tons of texts to get to. I appreciate all the text lines and a phone call or two. Josh Williams, 725, is going to review last night's game. He's going to preview what Vegas says about tonight's game, potential look ahead for national championship stuff. We'll get our Jinx Inc. our Reedy Lanco. Jinx Patrick will be here with our ReedyLanco.com hunting and fish report and Phil Pott in hour three. We've got a busy couple of hours for you getting ready for the weekend. More right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.